Welcome to the Fuller Money Highlights. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 14th of August, recording at 9:17 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights. Stock markets were mostly mixed in here today, but Wall Street has closed out with some reasonably decent gains, and some of the resources markets that had been knocked back are firmer in here. Today as well. Brazil and Mexico, I can see on the screen as I look. Elsewhere, government bonds a little bit firmer in most instances, although slightly easier in Europe. U.S. dollar is firm today, particularly against the euro and the Swiss franc. Not so much against other currencies, barely up against the Canadian dollar, for instance. Crude oil has been swinging about in here today. We have to expect plenty of that. I'll give you an example. We've had a $5 range in crude, but it's netted out here at $114.94. That's down just over a dollar. Natural gas weaker still. Gold falling back to 805 and a half as I speak. That's down $21. Grains, beans, corn and wheat closed on the upside. Soybeans were slightly lower. Most other agricultural commodities were down on the day a little bit, and metals were generally softer except for tin. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Let's talk about stock markets as I usually do, from an investment perspective. I've often talked about the perfect storm, which drove stock markets down. We're not completely out of that storm, but certainly it is subsiding. And that is particularly evident really in the big drop that we've seen in crude oil. That's the big one, and that is very helpful for the long term. But the shock of the spike in crude oil is going to cause problems for some time. This has always been the case. I think there have been only three really big spikes in crude oil over the last for more than 100 years. And there was quite a big spike in crude oil back, I think it peaked around 1919. And that's further back than most of us can remember, right? And then there was the very big spike that we saw starting in the 70s, and I think that carried into 1980 thereabouts, but it was a huge spike, and the two earlier ones caused recessions, and this isn't going to be any different, I don't think, in that again the third spike occurring, well, the most dramatic part of that spike and the climactic part of that spike for I think quite a while, as you know, was reached earlier this year, and it was reached last month, and I think that the economic impact of that is going to linger for quite some time, but more importantly, for stock markets, a lot of that has already been discounted, and the fact that crude oil has fallen back a long way and taken a number of other commodities down with it is a favorable factor for the quite long term. So improvement there. The credit crisis in the West is going to linger on for a while. The very slow growth in the West is going to linger, that slowing global GDP growth. Generally, we know all that. I think you read about that practically every day out there. So what's different, or what's the good news? Consumer sentiment is extremely low. Investor sentiment has been extremely low. for a number of months. Money in the US money market funds is considerably higher than it was at the bottom of the bear market back in 2002, that ended back in 2002, following the bursting of the dot-com bubble. So there's a lot of cash around. The news is grim, the sentiment is grim, as we expect at the trough of stock markets. So I think that's the good news side. Certainly, if you're a market historian and look back at those previous cycles, or think back in your life, when was sentiment the most bearish that you can recall, you will almost certainly be identifying the troughs of previous bear market declines. And equally, if you say, when was stock market sentiment the most bullish that you can recall, and invariably it's associated with the cresting of those bubbly types of markets. So we need to remember that. When will stock markets recover here? Nobody really knows, but we're in a rally phase that I think will continue as long as the it's a modest rally phase, technical rally, but I think it will continue as long as the bank shares don't unravel. I was interested to see that the bank indices are a little firmer in here today, but they do need to move up above the highs within those trading ranges that have formed over the last 3 weeks or so, and to signal an extension of their recovery. If that does happen, as I've said before, that will put a little bit more of a tailwind behind the broader stock market rally. Conversely, if the banks fall back, well, they're a lead indicator, and that would be a bit negative. Overall, I think we have to be prepared for a fairly lengthy convalescence. What's fairly lengthy? I think at worst it would carry into 2009. We might get lucky if we get a shift in central bank policy sooner than that. But my basic premise would be that we've se is my basic premise is that we have seen the worst of this bear market cycle, and that values are much improved, and I think to a point where one could be buying into some of the fuller money themes right now if you wanted to. And I'm thinking of Chindia and other Asian emerging markets. I'm thinking of the leading commodity shares, such as some of the leading agricultural stocks, which have been knocked back quite a bit. If we get further deleveraging, we could see them come back a bit further. But the more they come down, the more interesting they look. The leading industrial mining shares, they've had quite a shakeout recently. Interestingly, these were the last to fall, and that tells you something about their strength and their fundamental strength overall. But eventually, well, you know the old saying, you probably know the old saying about bearish trends, that they drag them all out one by one and shoot them. And if you're getting the deleveraging, if people are raising cash, if they're very worried about stock markets, eventually they sell the best fundamental stocks. They sell the which the, and the best performers, because they can, if only because they can, and because they're frightened, because they've seen lesser equities get beaten up on the way down, and so we get the capitulation selling, and we've seen plenty of capitulation selling in here now. So, if we think, are the leading industrial miners good value here? Fundamentally, Very much so, in my opinion. They've shown some of the best profits for quite a while. They are at the heart of the Fuller Money global infrastructure theme overall. They also benefit enormously from the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme. Did I mention pricing power? They have enviable pricing power overall. And have they experienced rising costs? Well, of course they have. Everything has experienced rising costs. There's no perfect world, or at least not for very long. But these are still terrific long-term holdings. Of course, they're volatile. When have we ever seen a stock market environment that hasn't been volatile? So, I like those companies, and I also think that most of them are in buying ranges. But I also think that one could easily sit on the sidelines if you agree with me that the convalescence. I'm talking about selling existing or current holdings in Fuller Money themes. I think it's too late to sell those. But if one has cash and is considering investing, my thoughts on this, if I were doing that myself, I would not pay up for anything. I would only nibble. I wouldn't buy aggressively on weakness. I would only nibble because, again, you and I can only deal with the realities that markets provide, and that reality is likely to include a lot of sideways ranging activity as the convalescence continues. The cycle, as I've said before, has certainly been slowed in terms of GDP growth, and it's also been lengthened. But I don't think we're going to get another commodity shock anytime soon. And the West's credit crisis is gradually. Well, we're gradually working through that. That's going to drag on well into next year, I suspect. In terms of global GDP growth, that is slowing. So what we want to look for is a point where central banks are shifting their emphasis. Once central banks start to shift their emphasis away from their concern over inflation, to stimulating GDP growth, well, once stock markets get a sniff that switch in emphasis is at hand, they will certainly be performing more strongly. And I don't think we're all that far away from that point, but let's see. It's so easy in forecasting to think or hope that something's going to happen more quickly than it actually does. We may have to be patient for a little while longer. That would be my main message on in terms of stock markets from an investment perspective. And what else to mention here? Part of the well, I think the dollar's rally is overextended. As you know, I do think that. The evidence that we did have some quiet intervention take place, sort of a quid pro quo to get the dollar up and oil down, agreement between the Bush administration and the Saudis. That's conjecture on my part, but the script that we've seen in terms of the price action and the trips and meetings that occurred involving both Cheney and President Bush. Would certainly lend themselves to that theory. But at any rate, we saw that big rally in the U.S. dollar. That has put at least an important medium-term floor underneath the greenback. I think the rally is overextended. I wouldn't be at all surprised if those lows are not tested, if not late this year, next year. I would expect them to be tested because I don't think the US economy can sustain a stronger dollar very long, and for all the reasons that I've mentioned in the past. But an important point though, the dollar's rally has removed one of the big anxieties, namely that we were going to see another dollar plunge. The crude oil sharp reaction, and I think crude will go under $100 for a while, that has removed a big anxiety that crude was going to spike up to $200 or higher. I think that happens at some date way out in the future. So you can see that one by one, these anxieties are lessening, at any rate, and that's all good news, I think, in terms of the long-term potential for global stock markets. And we need to take a long view here and say, who's got the best governance? Which countries have the best overall governance? Stephen Roach has some interesting comments on that in an item I'm going to be posting shortly. And my view is that the pupils have become the teachers, and that we're seeing far better governance in the Asian economies than we are seeing in the U.S. economy. And that's been the case for a number of years. And sadly, I don't see that really changing in terms of, I would be delighted to see continued and improving governance in the Asian markets. The sadness is that I'm not sure it's going to change all that much in the U.S., but hopefully it will. Hopefully that's too pessimistic a forecast of mine. Meanwhile, precious metals, again, headwinds from the dollar, headwinds from the global deleveraging. People are less anxious about inflation than they were previously. That's a good point. Gold is a very attractive hedge against fiat money over the very long term, but it's in one of its lengthy consolidations. So again, I think gold bulls are going to have to be patient in terms of that next big upward move. Now, I'm not here tomorrow. One of the reasons for that is I'm about to become a grandfather, and will be by the time I address you again on Monday. Meanwhile, you're in Owen's very capable hands tomorrow. And so I will wish you a good day in the markets tomorrow and an excellent weekend, and look forward to addressing you again in the audio on Monday. All the best.